Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Welcome to the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. It's the first real show since TakeOver, and oh boy, do we have a heading. Don't you go anywhere.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. We're back in almost full effect. It's the AfterBuzz TV NXT After Show right here on, you guessed it, AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. I'm one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica. Don't you get to follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Don't cut to them. Don't cut to them. We're gonna spend some time being canceled.
I don't know what to do with my arms.
We'll talk about that later. But joining me, the returning True Hobo.
Yep, it's been a couple of weeks. I did the Raw and SmackDown this week. Was backstage. Was a great time. It, and by all.
You want to talk about it a little bit later?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can talk about it more.
Hey, look, it's Bill Hancock.
Somebody! Hi. Right.
We should have come into that! Yeah. Equally as powerful as Johnny Gargano's
It's really good to be back. I have bronchitis and also a bunch of family commitments and work commitments, so it's nice to be back. I missed you guys. I missed you guys passionately.
Yeah, I would say so as well. Yeah. We missed, for the first time in this show's history, we missed a takeover. Wow. And that's huge.
Yeah.
For the first time ever. So I remember, because we were back at the house watching the network break on the very first takeover, and I remember Maria coming up and going, "What are you guys watching?" And we're like, "Oh, we're just watching takeover."
Nothing. Get out of here. Shut up.
Stupid. God. No, we didn't. Please don't tweet it. Welcome to the NXT After Show. Did we get some fun? Please add that to the soundboard. That'd be great. Do like that into the no. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. So we found out from Mr. Regal that that we're going to be getting some qualifying matches for an NXT title number one contender fatal four-way match. So Morrow kept calling it a tournament. It didn't have a fancy. It didn't have like a graphic with.
It is a tournament.
It's a kind of. It's not really a bracket kind of thing. It's like there's a thing, and then throw the rest of them in because we're short on time.
It's a bracket in the sense that there's eight names, and then it goes to four names.
Well, they didn't do that for when they were determining the number one contenders for the women's championship. They didn't call that a tournament.
Sure didn't.
Where's the consistency
of our city?
Of our city. Should have come in on Toxicity, dang it. That's the new meme.
Oh, this is our musical episode.
Yeah.
Don't want to do that. This concludes our musical episode.
You guys can't hear that?
Don't you snap at me.
Yeah, I thought I could share my music.
The show starts with an Almas title celebration, which is to the point. We didn't have streamers or anything that nothing like when Eddie Guerrero won the Undisputed Championship,
right?
Which was exorbitant, but this was plain and simple. Hey, he's your champion now. Let him speak to you. Well, I told you.
Yeah, I think Almas is the kind of guy that doesn't want to share his cocaine.
Zelina cut a really awesome promo hyping up Almas, and then Almas just repeated, "I'm the champion," for
and that's the cocaine, really.
El campeón.
Yeah, he just did a bunch of blow, and they let her kind of talk, and he thought he was being real communicative. I'm sure he thought that, I'm just going to keep saying this, because it's the only thing that matters. Really?
Really? No.
I mean, truly.
No, no. He has no challengers right now. The returning match with Drew McIntyre is essentially suspended indefinitely.
Yeah.
Until Drew returns, whether he's the champion or not, the fact that he has an entire tournament around who he's going to face because there isn't a ready challenger.
Mm-hmm.
That speaks pretty highly of his reign at this point.
For sure.
I mean. Okay.
The whole rest of the men's division is in disarray, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can't argue with the fact that he won the title. He it was his first shot at the title, and he actually did it.
No, it wasn't his first shot at the title.
I think it was.
I think he challenged Finn at one point. He had to have fought Finn.
In any case,
I don't think so.
It was his first challenge with Zelina.
Correct us on that. Sure. Anybody watching live in chat, which you can watch live on YouTube.com.
Crunch the numbers, people.
Crunch them numbers, yeah. Look at them wikis.
And it's very unusual for this to have happened. None of us thought it would actually happen. Because it was enough
legit
that
surprise.
He was right. It was enough that he was there. He didn't actually have to win to prove a point, but he went above and beyond and actually did it.
Point
and kind of left everybody just going, "Well, that's it, Ben. What do we do?"
Sky's the limit now.
Yeah,
I think I feel like we're kind of on a streak, but like, I think I'm pretty sure Finn won the title on his first title opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Shinsuke won his title on his first title opportunity. Rude won the title on his first title opportunity. And Drew won the title on his first title opportunity. So, I mean, it's not without precedent.
Sure.
Right.
But Almas has been there for a long time. Almas has been there, like, nearly as long as Itami, right? Or does it just feel like that because he showed up when Itami was...
No. It feels like that. But yeah. No, he's not been around that long.
But he's certainly been... He hasn't ever been injured as long as he's been here. So, like, we know Almas a lot better than we know Itami.
That's
Itami's
been injured for most of his NXT.
I'd say consistently, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's fair enough.
You don't know what he's doing.
I don't know.
Either way.
Sometimes, for those of you who are watching, sometimes something will catch our eye on the big screen and we'll all just like, squirrel.
What are you planning?
It's up to something.
But yeah, super strong. I'm excited to see super where this and super naked.
Mm.
It's the flesh.
Yeah.
Almost did not do air humps on the ramp.
It's a new era.
Yeah. It's
truly
it's
a new
sad.
Era.
It's very sad.
He probably didn't want to rip the suit. Mm. He was wearing full gear under that with his fist pads.
Yes.
So
I mean you have to wear as a wrestler, you have to wear knee pads. More than half the time.
You never know.
And just like every place that you go for the rest of your life, you have to have your wheelie bag with you.
Yes.
That's entirely accurate.
Yeah. You take it to the store because you never know.
Go to a kid's birthday party, there's a bounce house there. Whatever, I might get booked.
Yeah.
You never know.
The yeah.
Khan didn't show up, we got to do a match.
Come on, man, get your stuff on.
Yeah.
Like, you're the only one.
You're on in 10.
Got it. You gotta do it, and you're going to get your rate, too. That's the thing.
That's
when you're
great.
Working a kid's birthday party, you know you're going to get your rate of a hot dog and a hug. Little bit of a bump, usually a handshake. It's going to be a hot dog and a hug, because if you're invited to a kid's birthday party, you generally know them a little bit better than a promoter.
So
I wouldn't necessarily hug a wrestling promoter. Mm. Generally, they smell pretty bad.
Yeah. And you're saying that.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. They don't understand. Maybe it's they're working really hard. You know, they're working real hard, so they're sweating a lot. So by the end of the night, you know, they give you the envelope, and they're just covered in stress sweat. Which, if you've been watching television, you know stress sweat is worse than regular sweat. So you gotta wear Women's Secret deodorant. I am not sponsored, but I'm open to it.
You want to be sponsored by Women's Secret?
Yeah.
All right.
It seemed like a really extended rant when you could have just said Dave Marquez smells.
Actually, surprisingly, he smells
does,
better.
He doesn't smell
oh, no. I figured that.
He smells like Christmas.
Dave Marquez
that's the Disney training.
Just clean and dry.
Yeah, he's a. You look at that man and you go, He's clear as a whistle.
Yeah, you look at that guy and you're like, that boy is dry.
That's a dry boy.
Yeah.
Speaking of...
use him to sharpen a knife.
Let's talk about the opposite of a dry boy, Lars Sullivan.
Oh, no. Very wet.
Yeah, he's a moist boy. I love this. So he's facing off with Roderick Strong as a part of this, quote, tournament. And like Roderick Strong talks about his he almost sounds like George McFly, but I dig it. I dig it much.
If it was two George McFlys taped together to make one big George McFly, yeah. But he could talk like that.
George
and get
McFly
away with it.
Hanging out around Doc Brown's plutonium too much.
Right,
George
yeah.
Mick the Fly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just, as a monstrosity. But Lars Ulrich talks about
that's
his
a wrestling pro wrestling thing right there.
George Mick the Fly?
Yes.
Man. But I love how he brings up Roderick Strong talking about his family all the time. And he goes, I don't have a... It's happening.
Crap.
Pull out the photo. That's
Hit
the
your
thing.
Kids, Marty.
We're living in a timeline where Nicole Conlon doesn't exist, so we have to fix it somehow. She'll be back in the picture soon.
No. You turn out fine.
It's your kids. It's your kids, Nicole. I don't have a family. I care about getting my hands. It always goes back to his hands on Roderick Strong in 2 weeks.
Big, strong hands.
Getting these hams.
I think he's jealous of Roderick Strong's hair.
That's what it is?
That's what it is.
Not his family?
That's the component of Roderick Strong I could actually see on the cover of a Men's Fitness magazine.
Yes.
The hair.
Right. And I mean... It was Sullivan saying he didn't have a family. He didn't say he wanted a family. I think he got rid of his own family. I think he absorbed them into himself to get all of their powers.
such a strong in utero twin that he absorbed the mother and the father.
Yes.
as well as the twin.
He's a black hole uterus.
He's an inverse quado.
Yes. Sharkasaur in chat. Gaggle of reporters with various recording devices is my favorite recent addition to NXT gags. It's still no mirror that makes girls evil, though.
That's true.
Yeah. More like Sasha Banks would come up from behind and be like,
"Yeah,
yo, though." And they'd be like, oh, I think I'm evil now. Yeah.
We haven't seen the Oculus in a long time.
I'm sure it's got to be in the big storage.
Well, the last time
it's like the Phantom Zone.
The last time we saw the mirror on WWE TV... was in the Adam Rose Mike's Hard Lemonade commercial.
Was that the last time?
Yeah.
There wasn't like a Stardust or something?
No.
Wow.
Because Stardust was always just in the Star Room.
Mm. Oh, that's true.
Starfield.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought he would like show up
King
in other people's
there too.
That's right. That's what it was. People would randomly apparate in the Star Room. That's right.
It's like, what the? How did I get in this room?
I liked when Titus was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
People don't really talk enough about how crazy King Barrett's voice is.
It's pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
The defiant wrestling.
When you're hearing it
manager.
In person, you think like some crazy malfunctioning British robot is about to murder you.
I think he is.
It's like you're at Five Nights.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a nice robot.
Also, his name's Stu.
Well, no, you gotta say it deep. It's Stu.
My name's Stu. I like to eat meat pies.
They're people.
Sullivan doesn't have a family. He lost them with his sports almanac.
He's Tetsuo from the end of Akira, just crushing people in his mighty folds.
He can't be big country and have a lisp. He has to pick a struggle.
I don't even think we mentioned his lisp yet.
Yeah, but winning the title means that he gets to show the Lars Sullivan that he always knew that he was, and the champion will be in his hands. It's back to the hands.
Like, I don't...
He's like,
any man with two hands is a fighting
like,
chance.
No, he's got ridiculous
I'm the NXT champion.
It's like one of the rings, and it's like, hey... Yeah.
I bet he could, like, fold it in half if he wanted.
He just wears it around his finger. It's like...
It's a wristwatch. Oh. It's the NXT Championship. It's quite nice.
P.W. Gregory brings up something very, very important. Lars may be a shark, because apparently sharks eat their siblings in the womb. So
also, they have to constantly keep moving or else they'll die.
Or else they'll die. That's the thing, is you didn't notice him doing hummingbirds under...
That's why he had no pants on.
Yes, he's exactly. always moving.
Rub his legs together like a
cricket. He's like the Flash. There's too much friction. Yeah. And any pants that he wears just Melt away. What? I missed you so much. Last week was a solo show, and it was hard.
Yeah,
it was
really difficult. I can't imagine.
Wait, it was just you? No, Nicole was here too.
She couldn't make it. Like, traffic was so bad that she would have made it, like, halfway in the middle of the show. It's
just you, like, building a fire. And, like,
what kind of show?
Sobbing.
What kind of show would I have if it was just me?
Oh, terrible.
Who the hell knows where we would go?
Oh, my. It would be Hobo's one-man show.
You can on Wrestling for Wrestling on Facebook.
No, what you should do is you should pre-tape it and Smeagol it.
Oh, and talk with yourself.
Yeah.
That's, I'll tell you, that's way challenging.
What did you think, Hobo?
Actually, not bad.
Well, you know.
We did that once. It was pretty difficult.
It's really, really
and it was only
hard.
For like a 30-second minute thing.
Actually, also, what would have been great is if you didn't pre-tape it and just like wheeled from side to side of the desk. There's a really awkward
just cut to the other shot where you're just like, and that's what I think about that.
Or, like, get up and walk all the way around the desk to the other chair.
It would take forever. Yeah. It would be, like, 5 minutes of show.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. So we got a new comment.
Oh, thank you, Sharkasaur. I'm gonna add to his comment. Lars is the opposite of Kyle O'Reilly. Because he knows exactly what to do with his hands.
It's true.
Oh, no! But his comment was specifically, Lars is, what do I do with my hands taken to its logical conclusion?
Yes.
Right.
So
yeah.
he's the opposite of Kyle O'Reilly. Oh,
in
boy.
A lot of ways.
In a lot of ways.
They would be a pretty boss tag team, I think.
Ah, no. I don't leave Bobby Fish out of water.
Bobby Fish would be free to do his own thing.
Yeah, fair. No. Bobby kick ass. Yeah, Bobby got nothing to worry about.
go eat.
I see you have hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
My biggest question right now is, whatever Steve's doing in the booth, why is he doing it in an incognito window?
Well, you always way, bring this
up. I'll tell you exactly why. Because if you do like the zooms in incognito, they don't stay on the regular browser. So yeah, so kids are happy. If you're on the Vikings board, could you give us a quick squish?
He's looking. Well, that curse is moving all around.
Wait for it. There you go. That's a good one. All right. Let's move on to Trent Seven versus Killian Dane. Mm-hmm. Trent Seven, he qualified for this by winning a battle royal at one of the local Florida shows.
Lakeland, I think.
The Lakeland.
Oh, beautiful Lakeland.
These are two large men that had a really hard-hitting match.
They were just slapping bellies.
Just slapping bellies. It's like Kamala fighting himself.
Mm.
A Kamala versus a Kamala.
Yeah, they were slapping each other's bellies.
That's just crazy. Yeah.
Just all the various Kamale.
Yes.
I'm an expert in Kamala. I am a Kamalier.
Boo. God.
Oh, but come
also,
on!
But also God. Yay!
Oh, thank you. Okay. Both. That was all right. That was okay. This was a lot of fun. What did y'all think of this one?
Seven had to bring it. Dane is a force to be reckoned with. We were talking about it. He's not particularly tall, but he's like a human loaf. He's like a loaf of like meat without any breading to really
meatloaf.
Separate the
so
meat.
So he's meatloaf.
He's meatloaf with the crust cut off.
There you
he's
go.
A loaf. Of
he's the middle of the meatloaf.
Ooh. Yeah, dead center. No tomato sauce. So he's a little drier than usual. Yeah. Seven head.
Is he talking about ketchup?
You can use tomato sauce.
No, I use tomato sauce. Yeah. You can do a glaze, like you can put a glaze on it and cook it that way, but you're not going to put ketchup on it.
NXT team sponsored by BJ's in more ways than one. But this.
Whoa.
Canceled!
Sorry. Well, the BJ's restaurants.
Even
they've got.
I thought that was too far.
Well, no, they've got pizza.
Yeah.
And the Pizookie, of course. Multiple ways that you go to BJ's, you're going to have a good time.
You make yourself a Pizookie sandwich with some meatloaf.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
Hey, I got dreams. I got big dreams.
I got big dreams.
I got big dreams.
I got big dreams.
I got big dreams.
I have all the dreams.
Well, at the end of this match.
Shout out to our audio listener.
Killian Dane, much like Mickey Mouse before him. I killed Seven with one blow. That's a Brave Little Taylor reference. Look it up.
Yeah, that was a... Are your arms sore? Because that was a big pull.
It wasn't.
Oh, good.
Not for me.
Oh, okay.
I'm real old.
That was on time.
I remember going to see that talkie before the Absent-Minded Professor played.
Wow.
And, you know, you could just pay it 10 cents and then you get to sit in the theater all day. Mm-hmm. See the newsreels. The cartoons?
Yes. I know. He's super weirded out by it.
How old are you?
I'm old.
We don't know. He's a Dracula.
Boy.
It's him and Tommy Wiseau. Draculas.
You must be kidding, aren't you?
I'm tired. I'm wasted. I love you, darling.
I love you, darling. Oh, hi, Clitha. Anyway, go see The Disaster Artist. Sponsor. Anyway.
Squirrel! Literal freaking squirrel!
That was really
holy
mean.
Just, crap!
Just do like a flash. Steve, I'm so happy you're working the show. Anyway, Killian Dane gets the win with a Vader-esque bomb.
It was snappier.
He's a little snappy.
He kind of followed it up, but Trent Seven got the 7-star lariat. It wasn't
enough.
Looking at it though, he didn't have the follow through. Usually does with it. It felt like Dane kind of was backing away as he was bringing it through, so it didn't make all the impact. The whole point of it.
3.5-star lariat at best.
Yeah.
Well,
actually,
all of the stuff that Killian Dane and the rest of Sanity went through in War Games, that's nothing compared to it. So I think. He's still coming down from it in that high adrenaline of we should have won, we took the most risks. Excuse me, that was gross.
He's still trying.
No, please continue.
But also, Dane is fighting angry, very angry, because he still has not passed that key.
It stuck sideways. Sideways.
Oh, you had to do it when I was taking a drink. Ah, I escaped without showing.
So now you understand what Dan's going through.
I do.
Even I went, how did you do that? Why?
But that's the thing, is everybody thought that Alexander Wolf had a bad night. Oh no, yeah. That was a rough key. That was a rough shaped key.
I wanted him to saw him and be like, well, yeah, and then like the camera to like slowly push in as he like realizes like.
Oh, damn. Imagine Wolf has got to do the belly claw trying to straighten that key out.
Oh, jeez.
Belly claw.
I just tuned in at the wrong time for that comment.
Turning it.
Who wants to talk about the weirdest promo of the night?
Yeah.
So,
I'm not saying something.
Undisputed Era. You were just hanging out, Kyle O'Reilly, not knowing what to do with his arms again. He was just like kind of hanging out, like posing next to his Trans Am. I don't know.
Hey, I'm Kyle O'Reilly, and I bet I could throw a football over those mountains.
The Uncle Rico of NXT.
Yeah, same haircut and everything.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next week we find out very clearly from Adam Cole that he's going to be taking on Aleister Black in a qualifier match to get onto get into the Fatal 4-Way. Talks about how he's not on my level. And then very unclearly we find out from Kyle O'Reilly that there's an NXT tag team title match in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. His wording was, in 2 weeks, we take on Sanity. New tag team champs. How about that? Just tell us what the match is. Like, it was, to me, it lended more of like a dare after school. Like, hey, kids.
Catch me outside. How about that?
How about that? We're here to talk to you about why drugs aren't cool. Like, he doesn't seem comfortable in his own body.
Yeah, here's the thing about how Kyle O'Reilly looks, and I'm not trying to be... I'm not being lookist. I'm not trying to be lookist in any way. And I'm not
trying to... all lookist body
shame.
Blind.
I'm not trying to body shame anybody. And I'm not trying to say this in any way as an insult, but Kyle O'Reilly looks like a dirtbag.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's legitimate.
Like, he looks like a high school kid, but he looks like the specific kid in high school where you're like, oh, that kid's a dirtbag.
That kid's
like
ass.
The crummy facial hair, and you know.
This is how all the kids dance these days.
Teenage dirtbag, baby.
Oh no, it's in my head.
Tweetus.
Joseph Boza, to me it was just typical Undisputed Era. There was one that made me say, what? WTF? Sharkasaur, Roddy is so glad Kyle is now in NXT to take the acting heat off of him for now.
Yeah.
PW Gregory, oh god, I hope Kyle starts blowing people awkward wooden kisses.
Yeah.
Well, but he wouldn't be able to, he'd like have to kiss his forearm or the inside of his elbow or something.
Because he's raspberry him.
He's like, which part for the blow kiss?
Chat's talking about you being a lookist.
Hey, Bobby.
What a lookist.
Don't be around him at his birthday party. He's trying to blow up those candles.
He picks up each individual candle. Anyway.
No!
Man, this place is hot.
I don't know what that is, but it's good.
This place is friggin' hot.
We ghosts. All right.
There's a little girl cry.
Like, he's haunted. He's the, like, the little brother of the cool kid.
Oh, little brother.
He's like, oh, little, he's like, little brother.
Little brother.
I don't know what to do with my life. I'm going to pass for 10,000 yards.
I think of going into male modeling. Oh, man.
We've been canceled.
Yeah, the specific, man, Web 1.0 Homestar Runner references.
Yeah.
Probably could.
That's 10 to foot. Yeah. But because, like, Cole's, like, in the back, he's got his hair, he's like, you're not on my level. I'm going to beat you up like
I'm up on the sound box. You're not on my level. I'm above these guys.
And then O'Reilly's doing his looks for a photo shoot.
Alex Wright.
And just like, we're going to be cool guys. And they're doing, like, the NWO thing where when they're looking right at where the camera is, they get it from the other side. It was a cool-looking promo. Sure. Also, Kyle O'Reilly was there.
They're doing a great job of making them the lamest NWO ripoff. I mean, nothing they do is ever cool. The way NWO was like, hey, we're so cool. They're like, yeah are we cool? Hey, no, they're not cool.
They're the NWO. Whoa.
Fourth member of Undisputed Era, Joey Lord.
Yeah.
It's going to be their manager.
Next shirt.
Oh, man. So after this, match of the night for me. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. No holds barred between Ruby Riotta and Sonya Deville.
Lilla.
No,
Lilla.
That one's fine. But this was awesome. So my major problem with this is being slighted by the main roster again, where it seems like the show after TakeOver was starting a feud between Ruby and Sonya and possibly going for a number one contendership.
Fast-forwarded through it.
And then it's like, no, we want you on the main roster. Sorry, wrap it up. And because we have a if it's best of three, we've got Ruby with one win and Sonya with another, and there's still potential for one more match, but they're now on separate rosters.
Exactly. Well, that's why I think this is cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Someday.
You can't. You're not going to get this for a while.
If you watch very closely in this match, you'll see from the backstage a big hook slowly come out at 7-4.
And every time they look at it, it shortens.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
We're just everything is on the
We haven't been with each other in a while,
mm-hmm.
So it's magic.
No frivolo.
Many consultations.
Don't worry. Next week we're gonna have a special guest, Sonora Card Gage. So Sharkasaur was like, I'll turn up for some Homestar Runner references.
Yeah.
Isn't this Miranda?
Him just coming out of the
Oh, Gruntilda.
So this match was awesome because I think this is the first time that we got to really see Sonya in her element of, like, we ain't got no rope breaks in this. I'm gonna let go of you when I want to let go. Heavy ankle lock near the top. Where, to the point where I think this entire match, Ruby wasn't in a no-holds-barred mindset. Because she was going after the rope. She was looking for the drops, the breaks, and all of that, but not taking advantage of any of the regular no-holds-barred stuff.
It's a tough thing to have a no-holds-barred match and have it be different from a no-disqualification match or any of the various things where there are no rules. I mean, it used to be that a no-holds-barred match meant that there were literally holds that you couldn't do regularly that now you could actually do. And this match, in particular, felt like that because it was both of them trying to gain a clean victory over the other using sort of what brings them to the table. Ruby has a lot of strikes and she hits at weird angles, and Sonya is just a beast.
Yeah.
She's gonna try and snap your ankle. She's gonna try and choke you out. She's vicious in a very controlled way. She is not going to cheat on the outside. She'll go for a thumb in the eye to break a hold. There was a very effective dragon sleeper that Riot had on that she had to use her thumb to get out.
Yeah, we were coming back from commercial.
Get out of here. Like, it's that's her style.
Well, yeah, I didn't expect her to do too much, like bring out four tables and light them on fire or any of that stuff, but being associated with how she has been with the Riot Squad on SmackDown, I expected a little bit more of a breakneck style. Because that's what she's been...
She needed to use it to her advantage.
Yeah.
She was too comfortable having won the last match, mm-hmm. thinking, I can actually beat her clean. Mm-hmm. Instead of going and I'm just going to go get a chair.
Yeah, like,
I'm going to hit you with a chair.
You saw right at the beginning... Ruby tried to go toe-to-toe with Sonya, got caught, dumped right on her face. Tried to go toe-to-toe with Sonya again, got caught, dumped right on her face. And then she kept her distance a little bit, but still kept trying to go toe-to-toe with Sonya.
Yeah.
Which, you know, pride goeth before the fall.
Yeah. She got way comfortable. Mm-hmm. Instead of actually going in and using the fact that there were no disqualifications to her advantage, she thought, I don't need the extra stipulation. I could just get this victory. And she got caught. She got caught in a triangle mm-hmm. on the ropes. She half into the ring, half out of the ring, and that was it.
She didn't hold on for very long.
I mean, it's tough because both of the... But most of your weight's in the backs, and you're having to fight with your own body in addition to somebody else, so there's no way you could possibly maintain that.
Yeah, her body's pulling away mm-hmm. and tightening the grip right. of the triangle. It was an amazing hold.
You'd have to try and get into the ring, which she tried. Her little legs flailing in vain. Didn't work out. Mm-hmm. She lost. Should have grabbed a chair.
Agreed.
Honestly, this is one of the few times I'm going to go, hey, you just want to go get a weapon.
Yeah, it looked so brutal. It looked even more brutal when Sonya finally released the hold. Robbie just, like, flopped right on her face. Yeah. Called her Robbie for some reason.
Robbie, yeah.
Robbie Riot. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I pulled up That All I Want for Christmas Is You, MP3 to MIDI to MP3, but you should too. Anyway, this was an awesome match, and agreed. Excited to see more. We're not going to see it for a while.
Yeah.
Like, till Survivor Series next year? Is the next chance for an inner...
It's the only time each year that the two brands fight each other.
That's the thing, is that when they fight each other. Yeah. Unless it's like, hey, we have unfinished business.
There's going to be a superstar shakeup at some point.
Yeah, true.
Maybe the Riot Squad and Absolution will swap members. Be like, we're going to switch blondes.
Yeah, that could happen. Or they swap brunettes. Yeah.
Or swap black hairs.
Yeah.
I think that's the term.
Blackheads?
Blackheads. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. That is not a good transition. So, moving on to the next segment, better transition.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Ember Moon with the random gaggle of press people who were just hanging out.
What? Okay.
Hello.
The random assortment of people with different mics, hilarious. We can all agree. Always hilarious.
Always
especially
good for
when
it.
They sneak in, like, non-mics. But...
they need that more.
A new wrinkle of it that is extremely good... is the person who's asking the question moves their mic in time with their question, like they're puppeteering?
I didn't notice that.
I didn't notice that. It's amazing. Rules.
In the Lars one, the second person who asked the question, like, so Lars, what would you think about that? Like, it's so good.
Who the hell? That's insane.
Because I know when I'm interviewing someone, I'm like...
So let me tell you something. Yeah.
So, Hobo.
Yeah, yeah.
When you were fighting your last match.
Yes.
Why did you bite that fellow?
Because I was hungry. And his nose.
Trying to find the sweet spot here.
The last guy.
This is a cardioid. I'm trying to find the sweet spot.
Trying to lock in the timbre of your voice.
The last guy I bit was Peter Avalon. I bit his nose.
Yeah, he tastes real good.
So you can understand why.
I will say, I bit his nose. At least in all of these, there more and more people have the right recording apps open.
Mm-hmm.
At least the other time when it was
like GarageBand,
Google Maps or something.
Yeah.
Hey, is there any good food in the area? Ember!
I got a question. My follow-up question is, keep talking because I'm trying to Shazam your answer.
And look at my interview later.
Notice me, senpai.
So, this was cool. She was just super excited. It was her goal to be the best champion in NXT.
But the important part is that Billy and Peyton come out.
There, she's interrupted by the Iconic Ones, who steal the NXT microphone that nobody saw until they grabbed it. They
like sleight of hand. They're like, and I just need to ask you a question.
And the mic is behind your ear!
What?
But they make the point that Peyton was not the one pinned, so she still has a valid challenge.
Mm-hmm. As does Kairi
Sane. I would say that.
But I don't think Ember Moon is a champion.
I think another thing that's valid is that Peyton had Nikki pinned for like a cool 20 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Peyton won. Peyton's the champ. But regardless, a tiny little bit of trouble in Paradise, SOS, was that... very good. Ember Moon was looking to say, yeah, I'll fight somebody. But y'all have to decide who it's going to be. And they both like, and I was like, oh, is this the first sign of a rift in the Iconic Duo? That's not strong enough to break up our girls. They go, you know what? You take her on first, and then I'll pick up the pieces after that. Oh, you're so bad. Oh, you're so bad. You're so bad.
Can I get my mic back?
They turn into fire-breathing dragons. So that was fun. I mean, they're using the...
That's where the Oculus went, to combat the Gorgon.
Well, of course. We should have known.
So the gaggle of press things are still... They're still pretty entertaining. And they're figuring out different ways to do it. It was just so weird the first time with it being Roddy.
Yeah.
For reasons. Anyway.
And then the second one they did was the one where they're like interviewing someone in the foreground, and then they're like, what's happening in the background?
That was like, Gargano, right?
Cameras like run over to like Zelina and...
something like that, yeah.
I wish I could get this segment tattooed on me. Like, with all the different faces and the voices. Like, they're so good. I love these ladies so much. They're so good. I wish I could just, like, show them to everyone in the world. Like, have this gift.
I would be more heartbroken over an Iconic breakup than a DIY and the Festival of Friendship combined.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Like, why would you even do that to us?
That'd be awful.
Terrible. I
mean, don't even think about
horrible
it.
Horrible to contemplate.
Yeah.
It's.
I know what I'm dreaming about.
It's a wonder why.
Nothing, because I'm going to be awake all night thinking about that. In terror.
It's
Well, I guess I'll die.
A little humscream.
Wow! We also find out in 2 weeks, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate are going to have a UK title match.
Sure.
Awesome.
Always down.
Again!
Cool.
Always up for it.
All right. Here's our main event. It's Cassius Ohno versus Mystery Opponent.
There were two really good matches on this episode.
Yes, there were.
There were.
Originally, this match was scheduled to be Cassius Ohno versus Velveteen Dream. Cassius Ohno versus Velveteen Dream. They're talking about it on Twitter. Velveteen Dream even did a promo from one of the house shows, at least backstage, talking about the opportunity. And we didn't really get a reason as to why.
And Velveteen and Cassius haven't had a match against each other yet either, have they?
Probably not on TV. And because I would want to see that match.
Sure.
So, and so we got the replacement of Johnny Gargano. And they had an amazing performance, and this was a great match. I still really liked all of the implications of Ruby's and Sonya's, and of course, we all have an attachment to Sonya here, so it's hard for that.
Yeah.
But some people were saying that Velveteen Dream was hurt.
I don't know who is saying that. I haven't heard anything, which is
He wasn't at the set of tapings at all. Like, he didn't appear.
Okay.
And yeah, he's probably hurt. That's probably what that is.
I mean, but it's also possible that, like, maybe he'll pop up the next 3 weeks doing backstage vignettes, like...
Yeah, like, going crazy, saying Aleister Black, Aleister... Or he said my name, or something.
They just cut to him, and he's like, ooh, and then that's it.
That's all you mean. I take it, yeah. Anyway, take it. You don't need any more than that.
Like, I'm trying to look up right now, I'm not...
I haven't seen any reports or rumors that he's injured beyond he wasn't at the set of tapings.
And everybody praising him for his match.
Yeah. It's odd timing, but hey man, stuff happens, and we got Gargano and Ono, which going into it, I didn't actually care much about, but I got a better match tonight than I was expecting.
For sure,
so yeah. I can't necessarily complain.
Really good match. I feel like it's one of Ono's best two matches that he's had since
he really showed a lot of fire.
Yeah,
that's something you get from him generally. He doesn't have that sort of kill streak, that mean streak, the ruthless aggression that you get in a lot of other guys. And tonight, you can feel it, and I don't know why. I would love a promo for this on why this matters to Cassius Ohno.
Yeah,
I just kind of think that like, right now, Johnny Gargano sort of brings out the absolute best in people.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, like, the dude can't do any wrong right now in the ring. Like, he's just absolutely great. He must be a joy to work with. And, like, he can do anything. And, like, he can sell for you. He can get the hope spots in. He can bump like a maniac. You can muscle him around. Like, you can have any match you want with Johnny Gargano.
He's real smooth. Very smooth.
We did fail to mention that there was that Soon promo.
Soon.
It was with the two spades.
Yeah.
I mean,
we think that it's Shayna Baszler, and it was awesome.
No, it's Aces and Ace.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
three aces.
Yeah.
There's going to be three more promos with two more aces.
Well, no, there's spades. Spades.
Right, I know, but this it's a spade.
She's the queen of spades. Does the... thing.
The spy head.
That's a triangle.
No,
that's a triangle.
No, you got
Bill, are you a part of the Illuminati? That's a
triangle.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
That's a spade.
Uh-huh.
That's a triangle.
No, but I'm turning the hand.
You gotta be rounder.
Everybody in chat thinks that it's Shayna.
But it's so cool because that is not in any way the sort of vignette or teaser or bumper that a woman wrestler ever gets.
Agreed.
And it's like Ember was brought in as some like supernatural force or whatever, but even she still got like glamour shots of her, like, you know, profile or whatever. Like, this is just like something is coming it's gonna wreck shop.
I thought this was gonna be something from Aleister Black about his upcoming match, but it was Shayna Baszler, presumably. It looks badass.
So cool.
But yeah,
and I'll just Soon is so rad. It's like
next
Doomsday, like next week, is about to kill Superman. You know?
Ooh, nice pull.
Doom.
But so this was a hefty match. Both fighting like that, like their careers depended on it.
Yeah. Well, they both have a ton to prove right now because they've both been taking them L's.
Yeah,
taking them real hard.
Yeah.
And this was, we were talking about it when we were watching it, just sort of, this was sort of the loser's bracket, because it's like, well, Dream would have been a good choice to fight for the number one contender because he really had a star-making turn even though he lost, whereas like Ono lost pretty convincingly, Gargano's been losing pretty convincingly, albeit with, you know, through, you know, psychological trauma most of the time.
And the UK title match was decisive for like the 5 seconds that it took to hit and pin, and then he was like, "What happened?" Right. But yeah,
but it's just like neither of these guys have had a big win in a long time, so there's sort of the two odd men out. Sort of like here's the pity bracket, like the 8-9 seed or whatever that you would get. So they were both really fighting hard to be like, no, I belong here. I believe in my heart that I belong here. I believe in my heart that I have what it takes to be the top champion in NXT.
Yeah.
So they're just leaving it all on the table.
It's one thing to lose and lose a lot, but then it's another thing to see your losses reflected in another individual.
Mm-hmm.
When you look across the ring at somebody who's on the same sort of downward trajectory you are, you want to make the statement that, yeah, I know I've not won a lot, but at least I'm better than that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those guys had that tonight. They wanted to make the statement that at least I am better than that guy. So they really left it all out there to prove that at least one of them was better than the other. In some small way, be it a sort of small victory, because it's still really early in this tournament, but at least they could prove that one was better than the other tonight. And they beat the crap out of each other to do it.
And I'll be perfectly honest, when it was Gargano that was revealed to come out, I said it while we were watching. I didn't care, really. Because, like, they're... I've been such
Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Harvey! I've been such a proponent of Velveteen Dream. And we all have, you know. And I've had people in daily life who I had recently found out were wrestling fans and longtime wrestling fans who after TakeOver were like, "Oh, you were right about him." And I said, "Yeah, I told you. He's amazing."
We literally do this.
Yeah, we do this every week. We know. So having all of these experiences and then having all of these Hall of Famers talk about the loss really made him a star, and this match made him a star. To be like, oh, he should be in the title discussion. Alistair, it's not a rematch for Alistair, but there's a possibility that they might face each other on another playground, so to speak. That's not an expression. But with that...
Hey, man. Let's face on another playground.
I'm gonna get you... Hey. 3 o'clock, the playground! Yay!
Let's do 30 seconds so of that, in the bathroom.
So that sort of thing is... that sort of thing was really troubling. And also... just sort of with a lot of media these days, it's like, oh, we got, here's this really stellar, amazing performer. Not to say that these two aren't amazing performers either. But
they've sort of had their time in the sun, so to speak.
Exactly. It's the time of the dream.
I'm sure you can find this a version of this match somewhere out there in the ether already. Mm-hmm. But Velveteen Dream is untested, and it's really interesting to see somebody who's untested like this develop.
Yeah.
It's way more fun.
Agreed.
For us to sit and go, well, what's this kid actually capable of? Mm-hmm. Instead of seeing two guys who we know exactly what they can do, mm-hmm. and they're going to do it, and we sort of don't care. We're not invested because it's been done, and we're kind of bored.
Yeah. And that's, again, that's not anything against these performers, because they're still having amazing performances week after week.
They're great, but we've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch stuff I haven't seen happen. I want to watch the future. I don't want to watch the past.
And also, there's a comment from Shiny Diver that for some reason got held for review, so I'm going to show it anyway. Brings up, I mean, Dream did just lose two, so he's a loser just like Ono and Gargano.
Yeah.
But who were the one or two people that people couldn't stop talking about after NXT TakeOver?
Yeah.
It was either Aleister Black or Velveteen Dream.
Well, there's a difference between being the 2017 Los Angeles Dodgers and being the 2017 San Francisco Giants.
But also, Gargano didn't lose a TakeOver.
Right.
He lost at the NXT before or after TakeOver, depending on how you want to look at it. Whereas Ono was on the show, and Aleister was on the show. That made sense. That makes sense to me. It's a real shame. Apparently... without being too spoilerish, Sharkasaur said that his things that are happening that are indicating Dream's trajectory at the next tapings.
Yeah.
So he's not he's probably not injured. It might have just been, it might have been an audible.
Just a shuffling of the
cards. It might have been like, you know what? So many people are talking about you. We're going to get you, we're going to put you in a better spot than possibly losing the first round.
So many people are talking about you. We're going to take you off TV for 4 weeks.
Well, it's
you can't be on TV again in 2017. That's how hot you are.
It is really crazy, but sometimes protecting somebody is the best way to give them the spotlight. Because his feud with Aleister Black, those two did not wrestle.
Yeah.
They wrestled when it mattered, when everybody was friggin' watching, and they stole it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters. You can't, doesn't matter having 1,000 matches over and over again. Yeah. If you have one match and it's friggin' great, that's it. That's all you need.
Well, that's one of the things that made the territories so effective is like, oh, this guy looks like a real badass. Oh, man. The champ just barely beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he leaves the territory for, like, a year or a year and a half and goes somewhere else and is a badass somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's like you're still kind of thinking about that guy. Sure, he lost the big match, but, like, who's to say if he had stuck around?
And his promo after the match, he may be in a questionable mental state. Yeah. But also, being put in the chat that maybe it was just a swerve for spoiler's sake or whatever. Either way, this is a fantastic match. Johnny Gargano wins with the Gargano Escape, and he is heading off so far against Killian Dane and possibly two other monsters.
He is sort of lining himself to either fail or be a giant killer.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a whole lot of other options. All of the guys that he's lined up to beat are friggin' big. They're big guys. And it feels kind of like he had to figure out a way to beat Cassius Ohno. Because Ohno's a big guy. So finally, he beat him in big man fashion. He started to go after that knee, and then he was able to throw him off balance enough to get the Gargano escape.
Yeah.
Because he didn't directly attack the knee to finish him, but it was enough to throw him off balance, which is kind of what you gotta do with guys sometimes who are bigger than you.
Agreed. We're going to talk more about this next week because we are immediately out of time. So let's give a quick outros, gentlemen, and then you'll be able to see us next week, and hopefully we'll have Nicole with us. Bill?
Check out uprox.com, uprox.com/prowrestling. With spandex.com, you can follow me on Twitter at Sunday Motel. Today we put up the new episode of McMahon Splaining the With Spandex podcast, where we talked to Chris Wolf, an actual literal wolf, and it was terrifying.
Well, very good. I'm Matt Truobo on the Twitter and the Instagram. Notice the name change on Twitter. You can ask me about it if you like. I'll be at Desert Pro Wrestling this Saturday in Mexicali and Arizona next weekend. I believe that Saturday Wrestling Pro Wrestling Thursday next week. It'll be the final show of the year, and it'll be damn fun. Watch that on Twitch.
Damn fun.
Damn fun. Speaking of damn fun, you should watch Xbox 1-2-360. We had Austin Aries on today with some amazing stories, and much like we try to do here, you'll learn how to become a better fan, because that's one of our goals here. So check out Xbox 1-2-360. It's on this chat. Make sure you subscribe. Also, make
you
sure
know
you
who's
go.
Becoming a pretty good fan?
Who is?
Kyle O'Reilly. He's like...
He's an oscillating fan.
Yeah.
Also, make sure to go to nxteam.spreadshirt.com to pick up that sweatshirt that Bill's wearing, as well as some other stuff. We had a meeting, I guess, and we've got some fun designs coming down the pipeline, including some that include our new members. So if you want to talk to us, make sure to follow all of us on Twitter. Use the hashtag NXTeam. Follow everybody here at the studio at AfterBuzzTV. But thank you so much for watching, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.